In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Here we are introduced to the concept of the blessed hope. The blessed hope is that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that we will meet him in the sky on the day of the Lord. But this hope didn't just come about because of some strange coincidence. His plan to save his people was established before mankind was even created. Here's the connection. Through the blessed promise, the blessed hope is revealed. Through the birth of Jesus, this hope becomes possible. Through the blood that was shed, the possible becomes reality. In the beginning, paradise was lost. In the blessed hope, paradise is regained. Jesus is coming for his church. He is coming again to receive unto himself that where he is there, we may be also. There are many passages in the Bible that deal with the second coming, but our main text will come from 2 Peter chapter 3, which is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible that deals with the second coming. Here, Peter must combat against doubters by reminding them of the proof, the power, and the preparation of the second coming. The blessed hope was what the early Christians held on to during their persecutions, what they clung to when things went wrong. But these doubters were doubting that very hope. This passage teaches us what we should do and what we shouldn't do when dealing with the second coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it reads, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Notice that the doubter's accusation is that nothing had changed, that everything was the same. Peter gives them proof or evidence that things are not the same. He then reminds them of the flood and how it completely wiped out the earth. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 38, it reads, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Peter realized that these people had the same mindset as the people during the flood. When Noah would tell the people of the coming of the flood, they would ignore his warnings and were convinced that nothing would change. They went on with their lives without preparing, or were marrying and giving in marriage, which meant they were going on expecting some kind of future. Peter then points out how, by God's word, judgment was placed on the doubters during Noah's time, and that by the same word, judgment will come. He then goes on in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Here Peter is pointing out that God is not held by time. These people were so concerned about when this day was coming that they began to doubt. They were probably so happy and excited when they first heard the news, but as time progressed and each day went on, they began to question that hope and eventually became impatient. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we should not get so worked up or worried about the necessities of life, because God will provide. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, it reads, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The same mindset can be set in this situation concerning the Lord, the day of the Lord, and these doubters. The Lord will provide. Peter then goes on to remind them that God was not being lazy about his promise. He is just being patient so that as many people as possible can be saved. Just as he is patient with us, we must be patient with him. The Lord will do his will in his own time. And at that appointed time, the Lord's power will be shown. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it reads, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This power will be so immense that everything is going to be burned up. This power is so intense that it will destroy our entire planet. The wrath of the Lord will come down on the earth so that nothing will be left. Here sinners have so many material things that they cling to, but on that day, all of those things will be gone. The law of conservation of mass says that energy cannot be created or destroyed, and all matter here on earth is created of energy. For us, it is impossible to create and destroy this energy, but God can do the impossible. The world will be obliterated. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." For sinners, this day will be the worst day in history. All they know and all they have built up will be demolished. Now, while this day will be the worst day for sinners, for the Christian, it will be one of the greatest days that they will ever know. In Malachi, continuing in Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 through 3, it reads, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Here is that blessed hope. That this is the other side of that power of God, the Lord's power of salvation, that in this day we might rise victorious. That in this day we can stand before God in confidence. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 reads, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Where sinners have built up treasures here on earth, we as Christians have built up treasures in heaven. When everything is gone, it won't matter to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, it reads, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We must be ready and prepare for the second coming. As we have seen already in this meeting, when God promised to send his Son the first time, nothing could stop him from fulfilling his promise. And when God promises to send his Son a second time, we know that nothing is going to stop him from keeping that promise. Peter says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Therefore, we must be prepared, seeing that nothing is going to stop him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, it reads, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Who are we to be? That's what this section is asking. In Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is dealing with faith. It talks about how by faith we believe that God created the world. By faith, the prophet and patriarch Enoch did not see death. By faith, Noah built the ark to save himself and his family. By faith, Abraham journeyed to an unknown land where he would receive the promise of many descendants and a city built by God. And by faith, Sarah bore a son in her old age that would bring on these many descendants of Abraham. All of these people are good examples of how we are to be. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, it tells what God does because of their faith. There it reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now look at what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. If you notice, we are being told here to do the same things as the saints of old did. As they look to a new city, so are we. According to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth. As the church, we are to help each other in this preparation. Continuing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, it reads, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them and of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We are to help each other to know what is right. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, it reads, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." We have seen how Peter reminds these doubters of the proof, the power, and the preparation of the second coming, that blessed hope. We ourselves must not become like these doubters and trust in the word of our Lord. Just as the saints of old, they died looking forward to the promise of God for that better place. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." As it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, "No one knows when that day will come. Not the angels, not even Jesus, only the Father." Because we do not know when that day will come, we always need to be prepared for it at any given moment. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, it reads, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." From this we learn the importance of being ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet your Maker? If you are not, you need to get ready today. Why? Why do you need to get ready? Because he might come tonight.